Welcome to Shir in Svarno, Parshas Noso. There are a number of sponsors for the Shir tonight. First of all, Barbara Arf, marking the yard site tonight of her husband, the first yard site, Louis Arf, Eliezer Ben Anshel HaKohen, Shama Shadav and Aliyah. Also, Ellen Cherik, marking the yard site earlier today of her mother, Uri Katz Cherik, Uri Bas Moshe Chaim HaKohen. Also, Robert Goldman, marking the yard site of his uncle, Chayiv Avraham Moshe ben Aaron, and his grandmother Chayiv Sarah bas Yisrael Alevi, both of which were observed earlier today. The neshama should have an aliyah and should see much nachas ruach in the Torah mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that the families are involved in. Beginning of Perek Vav and Parshas Naso talks about the institution of the Nazir, the person who takes upon himself various restrictions, specifically the restrictions involve not drinking wine or consuming anything that comes from grapes, not cutting his hair, and not coming into contact with a dead body. What motivates this individual to become a Nazir? So, Rashi brings from Chazal a well-known comment. The beginning of Perek Vav, Pasuk Beis. So the Pasuk there says, Isho, Isho, Kiafli, Lindor, Neder, Nazir, Lahazir, Lashem. When a man or a woman spells out a vow to become a Nazir to Hashem, and Rashi comments, Lama nismucho parshas nasir leparshas sota. Why is it that we find that the Torah describes this concept of becoming a nazir immediately after the Torah describes all of the halachas related to a sota, the woman who is accused of infidelity, that Lama lecha shekol haroes sota bekilkula yazir atzmo minayayin. To tell us that if a person sees the sota going through her degradation, his natural reaction, or maybe the reaction that he should have, is to swear off wine. Shehu mevi lidei niuf, because a person who overindulges in wine, rachmana litzlan, can bring himself to a point where he can lose control of himself and get involved in terrible acts of immorality, you know, that he can commit acts of infidelity, kind of like the sota. So it's a precaution. It's a fence to make sure that he never finds himself in a situation similar to the sota. So therefore, the natural reaction to watching a sota, to being exposed to the situation of a sota, is for a person to take upon himself the prohibitions of being a nazir.
We already see the sota in Kukula, only in Jerusalem.
Yeah, right. So
the Torah is speaking to someone who's in Jerusalem, sees a live...
Right, so it could be that Roa Sota Bekilkula is meant more loosely in the sense of, you know, when you contemplate, you know, you hear about, you know, the situation of a Sota, or something similar. In other words, remember, we're talking about why the Torah puts Sota and Nazir together. So it could be somebody sees an actual Sota Bekilkula, but it could be somebody hears about a Sota or sees some other kind of situation. In other words, you know, Rashi is telling us that when a person encounters a situation of immorality, of infidelity, he sees how people acting in a certain way get themselves into trouble. So the appropriate and natural response is to make gedarim, to make fences for the person, to make sure that they don't fall into that as well. So it's noteworthy in Rashi. Again, Rashi quotes this from the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah. It's noteworthy in Rashi that this pshat only really addresses one of the three prohibitions that the Nazir takes upon himself, right? In other words, the Nazir swears off wine, but he also says he's not going to cut his hair, and he also is not metamei lemesim. He also make sure not to come into contact with a dead body. On the surface, it's not immediately clear how those last two prohibitions have anything to do with the geder. Also, we should point out in Rashi, you know, the person who is taking upon himself the neder nazirus, is becoming a nazir, is really doing so not so much to elevate themselves, but rather to make sure that they don't fall into Aveira. In other words, in a sense, according to Rashi's understanding, it's preventing a negative rather than contributing to a positive. It's not that the Nazir makes himself, at least according to this little snippet in Rashi, it's not that the Nazir is looking to make himself into a holier, better person. He's trying to stick a finger in the dike, so to speak, to make sure that his whole infrastructure of being a frum person doesn't fall down. You know, he just wants to be normal, the Nazir. But, you know, as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, sometimes the way to be normal is to go to an extreme in order to make sure that you end up somewhere in the middle. So that's, again, you know, it's not necessarily the case that Rashi is telling us in this one Rashi the be-all and end-all of what it means to be a Nazir, but certainly just from this Rashi alone, the emphasis is not on how the Nazir becomes a greater, better, holier person, but rather how he just does something to make sure that he remains a normal, committed, good person, you know, without falling off the edge and falling into the same kind of things that were problematic for the Sota. The Sfarno, interestingly, takes a very, very different approach to understanding the Nazir. Again, as we pointed out just a moment ago, I don't know that, you know, the Sfarno's approach is against Rashi. It's just that Rashi, this particular Rashi, is focusing in on one aspect of what it means to be a Nazir. But as we pointed out within Rashi himself, Rashi isn't really addressing all of the dinim of being a Nazir. Rashi is addressing one out of the three dinim of being a Nazir. The Sfarno's approach could very well work with Rashi, but the Sfarno is giving a different perspective on what it means to be a Nazir. So, in the very beginning of Perek Vav, the Sfarno comments on the pasuk we read a moment ago, Isho isho ki yafli lindor neder nazir lahazir lashem. So, what's the word ki yafli? Right? So, we know that from a halachic perspective, hafla'a means spelling out, verbalizing a vow that a person has. Here, the Sfarno understands ki yafli, yafrish. The word yafli means to separate oneself. And ki yafli lindor neder nazir means yafrish atzmo min havle v'tanugos b'nei adam. This person who's becoming a nazir is separating himself from the frivolities and the this worldly pleasures that people get involved in. Lindor neder nazir. And he vows to become a nazir, lios nazur uparush min hatanugim hamurgalim. Right? So the word nazir, according to the Sfarno, means someone who's a parush, i.e., somebody who separates himself. He's a separatist. In what sense is he a separatist? He's a separatist from the pleasures of this world. He doesn't want to involve himself with the pleasures of this world. You know, he's a somewhat ascetic personality. Okay, so far, you know, I don't think there's anything in the Sfarno which is so unusual, but then the Sfarno adds the following. Lahazir Lashem. Right? So the Sfarno is presumably bothered by the following. A person, kiyafli, lindor, neder, nazir, lahazir Lashem, the word lahazir is just the infinitive form of the verb to be a nazir. So what does it mean? What's the meaning of he's taking a vow of nazirus to be a Nazir to Hashem? Obviously, a vow of Nazirus means being a Nazir, right? It seems a little bit extraneous. So, here says the Sfarno as follows. Lahafrish atzmo mikol eila l'man yekulo l'Hashem. The point over here of that last phrase, lahazir l'Hashem, means that he's separating himself for Hashem. In other words, in theory, a person could decide to lead an ascetic lifestyle just because that works for them in certain ways. It doesn't necessarily have to be a religious choice, right? For instance, right? Everybody knows the famous the Greek city-state of Sparta, right? We have the term today to be a Spartan kind of lifestyle. So they lived a very Spartan, very ascetic lifestyle. You know, they were very careful about what they ate. You know, they were very careful about how they would behave. But that wasn't a religious impulse, that motivated the people of Sparta. If anything, they were running around, you know, waging wars against people. Or, you know, again, Lahavdil from the Nazir, you know, there's a certain kind of personality who exists in America today who's extremely ascetic and very, very health conscious to the nth degree. And they're very extremely careful about what they eat and very careful about the kinds of activities they engage in. So again, nothing wrong with that, but that doesn't necessarily have to be a religious impulse. The person could be motivated by health considerations. The person could be motivated by a sense that this leads to a, you know, a more controlled, frugal kind of lifestyle. Here, the nazir, in other words, the one who separates himself, is lahazir lashem. The point of his separation is to devote himself for Hashem. And here adds the Svarno, that which is going to be very important from the Svarno's perspective. Lehisasek b'torasa, the nazir wants to involve himself in deep Torah study. V'laleches b'drachav, to walk in the ways of Hashem. Uledav kavo, and to cling to Hashem. In other words, according to the Svarno, the nazirus of the nazir is a means to an end and not an end in itself. And the end that the nazir has in mind is to enable himself to commit himself to Torah study in the best possible way. If the nazir separates himself from tanugos ha'olam hazeh, if he separates himself from the pleasures of this world, it will enable him to learn Torah, and we'll see later on in the Svarno, and to teach Torah in the best possible fashion. So this is a very interesting pshat, because I think when we normally read Chumash, and we read about the Nazir, I'm not sure that we picture the Nazir as being a Talmud Chacham necessarily. We perhaps see him as being a holy person, a spiritual person, somebody who's motivated to, you know, to do something, to come close to Hashem, but we more often than not, I think, see him the way that Rashi portrays the Nazir, namely, this is a person who is concerned about falling into the clutches of Aveira, and he wants to protect himself. The Svarno is saying differently. The Svarno is saying this is a person who wants to build himself up spiritually. He wants to become a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And he realizes that the best way to become a big Talmud Chacham is along the lines of the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, pas b'melach tochel. You know, remove yourself from the pleasures of this world. Eat bread and salt. You know, be very, very simple. So one expression of removing yourself from the pleasures of this world is don't drink wine. Wine, it's not that wine will bring you to Averos. I mean, it will, potentially. But wine prevents you from being focused on Torah. And being overly occupied with your appearance prevents you from being focused on Torah. That's the hair cutting. We'll have to see where the being metame lemesim, where the idea of not coming into contact with a dead body comes into this picture. But that's the focus of the Nazir. The Nazir wants to be able to pull himself out of many societal activities in order to be able to focus on Torah study better and to be able to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, continues the Svarno. In Pasuk Gimel we read, Miyayin v'sheichar yazir. The Nazir should distance himself from wine. So here writes the Svarno as follows. Lo yisagef atzmo b'tzom. It's noteworthy not only what the Torah tells you that the Nazir should do, but also what the Nazir should not engage in. Here's a person who becomes a Nazir. In other words, he wants to devote himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and lead some kind of ascetic lifestyle. So what would you think would be the essence of an ascetic lifestyle? Fasting. Fasting. Right? In other words, you ask anybody, what does it mean to be ascetic? So you fast a lot. So the Svarno says the Torah is underscoring that the Nazir Davka doesn't fast. There is no concept of the Nazir fasting. Shememai b'melechas shomayim k'divrayim zal. Because the person who's fasting all the time is actually holding himself back spiritually. Right? The Nazir wants to devote himself to learning Torah on a deep level. So, you know, every afternoon at 2 o'clock he says, Och and vey, I could really use a coffee right about now. Right? You know, so, you know, has he gonna learn? He's not gonna be able to learn, you know? V'lo yitzar gufo b'makos prushim k'minag tzvuyim v'chomrim. Similarly, he shouldn't engage in self-flagellation. You know, a lot of ascetic people throughout the generations of different religions, they would hurt themselves. You know, they would go and they would subject themselves to flagellation, to hurting themselves, to banging themselves, to hitting themselves, right? In the belief that somehow that would, you know, atone for various sins that they had committed. Again, Lahavdil, to some extent, the Mesillas Yesharim, you know, in his Hakdama, his introduction to his Sefer, talks about how sometimes people think that the way to be a true servant of Hashem is to roll around in the snow, you know, that experiencing that kind of discomfort is going to lead the person to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's not what the Torah wants, says the Sforno. And even the Nazir, who wants to adopt an ascetic lifestyle, should not engage in these practices because they will prevent him from being able to really focus on Torah study and mitzvah observance. Yeah?
How do you translate? What do you mean by ascetic?
So ascetic. Ascetic means a person who separates. Right, right. Ascetic means a person who separates himself from earthly pleasures. Right. So, avol yafrish atzmo min ayayin. The one thing that he should do is separate himself from wine. Why? Shebozehu memayites hatifla me'od u'machnia yitzrael. A person who separates himself from wine minimizes the amount of inappropriate things in his life. He conquers his yetzahara. V'lo yatish kocho bozeh klal. And most importantly, he conquers his yetzahara while not snuffing out his natural koach, his natural strength, and still making sure that he has enough strength to be able to learn Torah and to do mitzvahs. Okay, so that's the point of not drinking wine. So in other words, wine makes it hard to concentrate. This is a person who wants to concentrate. He wants to be able to learn and to make sure that he understands the pshat and what he's learning. What about not taking haircuts? So Pasuk Hei says, Tar lo yavar al rosho. The nazir shouldn't allow a razor to pass over his head. Uvazeh Yashlich achare gevo kol machsheves yofi v'tikun seyar. Right? By not cutting his hair, the nazir will throw behind his back any inappropriate focus on his own beauty and his grooming and his hair. Right? Just letting the hair grow wild. And that way, again, you know, you're not going to be preoccupied with these things. You'll have time and focus to be able to focus on Torah. In modern day times, the one who perhaps exemplifies this idea is the famous Rogatchover, Rabbi Yosef Rosen, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, one of the great, really unbelievable minds of the early 20th century. They say that the Rogatchover never or rarely, you know, took a haircut simply because he couldn't stop long enough, you know, from learning to be able to let people cut his hair. If you look at pictures of the Rogatchover, he seems to have a very, very wild hair, you know. It's that seems to be the way of geniuses to have wild hair. But not that the Rogatchover was a nazir, was it? The nazir in the formal sense of the term, but it's the same kind of idea that the Sforno is developing over here about the nazir. He's so steeped in Torah learning, he just doesn't have time to focus on the niceties of, you know, getting a haircut and grooming and all of these sort of things. But then we're left with the third prohibition. So why would it be a problem for the nazir to come into contact with dead bodies? Right? The Pasuk says, Pasuk Vav, Kol Yimei Haziro Lashem, all the days that the nazir is devoting himself, is separating himself for Hashem, Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yavo. He should not come into contact, he should not be in the proximity of a dead body.
Maybe he's taking upon himself the same thing that a Kohen is supposed to do.
Right, but why would that be the case? Yeah. Right? So in other words, the Kohen, I understand, because the Kohen's job is to serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, and if he's Tameh, he can't do that. Right? So in other words, his not coming into contact with a dead body is not to interfere with his Avodah in the Mikdash. The Nazir doesn't serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, so why should it be a problem for him to become Tameh? So the Svarog is a very interesting explanation. He says, Al nefesh meis lo yavo, lo yichaleil iske k'dushaso, l'isasek b'kvod mesim. He should not violate the acts of kedusha that he is involved in to be involved in giving honor to the dead. Ucha'om Ramzal, as Chazal say, and he quotes here a Talmud Yerushalmi in Psachim, Peregimel, Hamibli en Kvarim b'Tverya, Shlachticha b'Netziven. Were there no graves in Tverya that I sent you to Netziven? What's that a reference to? So the Yerushalmi in Psachim, Peregimel, tells the following story. Reb Abo sholach le Rebbe Chanina b'rei. Reb Abo sent his son Rebbe Chanina yizkei b'Tveria. So Rebbe Abo, who sent his son Chanina to learn Torah in Tveria, Tveria in Eretz Yisrael. Who is in Tveria in Eretz Yisrael? The famous Amora Rebbe Yochanan was living in Tveria. So he sent his son to Rebbe Yochanan's yeshiva in Tveria to learn. Asun v'amru lei. People came back to the father, to Rebbe Abahu, and they told him, Gamal hu chesed. You know what your son is doing in Tveria? He's the most unbelievable guy. He's running around helping people who passed away find kvura. He's doing mitzvos. Right? He joined the Chesed Shel Emes Society in Tveria. You should be so proud. They probably told it to him as a positive thing. You should be so proud of your son. You know, he's running around. He's doing chesed. He's helping this one. He's helping that one. So Rebbe Abo was not happy. Was not happy. And that's where he said the line that the Sforno quotes. Hamibli en kvarim bekisrin shlachticha l'Tveria? Where we were, in our hometown, we had plenty of graves and opportunities for chesed. There weren't enough graves in your hometown that I sent you there to Tveria to find more people to do gemilas chasadim with. In other words, Rebbe Abo said to his son, doing chesed is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's an amazing thing. But I sent you to Tveria to learn Torah by Rabbi Yochanan. All of the chesed that you're doing, which presumably could have been done by someone else, in other words, you know, it's not as if he was the only person in Tveria, every time you're running around doing these chasadim, you're losing out on a day in Shir with Rabbi Yochanan. So if you told me you were going to do chesed, you could have stayed home and done chesed. I sent you to Tveria to learn Torah by Rabbi Yochanan. What are you doing running around with all these chasadim, as wonderful and as great as they are, but your job in Tveria is to learn Torah. Right. Right. So let's just try to finish off this piece for a second. Then we'll try to address the very good questions, where the questions may be better than certainly the answers I have. I don't know, but let's just finish off the thought for a second. So basically, this final saying over here, very interesting chiddush. He's saying the fact that the Torah prohibits the nazir from coming into contact with a dead body is not really the same as the Torah's prohibition of having a Kohen come into contact with a dead body. A Kohen can't come into contact with a dead body because, as we said before, he needs to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. He needs to remain Tahor for that. And to the extent to which he becomes Tomei, especially Tomei Meis, where it's going to take him 7 days to shake off that Tumah, to become Tahor from that Tumah, it's going to mess up his ability to do Avodah in the Mikdash. We don't want that. But the Nazir doesn't have that as a Cheshbon. So why can't the Nazir come into contact? Right, so why can't the Nazir come into contact with a dead body? So this flows from the Sforno's conception of the Nazir. Why is the Nazir a Nazir? The Nazir made a commitment to be totally separated from this world in order to devote himself to Torah study, to Torah practice in the deepest possible way. He can't allow anything else, even very important things, like taking care of people who passed away. He can't allow anything else to get in the way of that single-minded devotion. And as such, you know, it's a big chesed to take care of the dead, but right now his task is to focus on Torah learning, and the chesed would take him away from that. So Yaakov asks two wonderful questions, which the Sforno doesn't address directly, so we'll try to do our best to answer, and maybe we'll hit the nail on the head, maybe we won't, I don't know. Question number one, let me start backwards, actually, because the second one I think I have a little bit of a better answer for. But question number one, why Davka, if that's the case, so why is it that he can't come into contact with a dead body, specifically? It should be a number of chasadim that the Nazir shouldn't be involved in. He can't join Chesed Shalemes, and he can't join Hatzalah, and he can't join Chaverim, and, you know, he can't join this, and he can't join that, you know. There's no shortage of chasadim, so the Torah should prohibit many, many more things than just coming into contact with a dead body. So perhaps the answer to that is that of the various chasadim that have existed, again, chasadim and the nature of chasadim vary from time to time and from place to place, but certainly historically being involved with a kvura of a person was a very all-encompassing kind of chesed, both physically, again, we're not talking about simply that he goes to the funeral. You know, what the Torah is probably talking about is he's digging the grave. He's helping with the actual kvura itself. A very all-encompassing kind of thing. And it's not just all-encompassing physically. It's very, you know, it drains the person emotionally. You know, if you're just involved in a chesed, you know, like Hashava Saveda, all right, so I bring the thing back to the person, you know, and it's nice and it's good. It's emotionally draining to be involved with a kvura, to be involved with a burial. And, you know, not only does it take time away from the Nazir's focus, but, you know, it drains him and refocuses him emotionally. That takes away from his Torah learning. Okay. But what about, Yaakov asks, the fact that the Nazir not only can't be involved with the kvura or come into contact with the dead body of the average person out there, he's not even allowed to be metame l'shiva krovim. He has the same restrictions that Kohen Gadol has. Rachmana litzlan, if his father, if his mother passes away during the time that he's a nazir, so he's not allowed to be involved with that funeral as well. And that seems to be very extreme. You know, you're telling me that the Torah's focus on his need to learn Torah instead of doing chesed goes so far as to prohibit him from being involved with his mother and his father, Rachmana litzlan, when they pass away? I mean, if a person, you know, again, to put it in contemporary terms, if one were to, you know, call up a yeshiva bacher and tell him, Rachmana litzlan, you know, you had a loss of that magnitude, and the yeshiva bacher would respond by saying, I'm sorry, I'm learning, I can't really get involved at this point, we would see that as cruel and inappropriate. You know, we wouldn't say, oh, wow, what a masmid. You know, we'd be upset, you know, if a person said something like that. So what's going on over here with the Nazir? The question is certainly better than any answer that I have, not an answer that the Sfarno has, but the Sfarno, I don't think, shares with us the answer. But perhaps one can suggest the following. You know, one thing that's important to remember when we learn about Nazirus is that the Nazir typically became a Nazir for a brief period of time. Right? In other words, the Gemara tells us, Stam Nazirus Shloshim Yom. You know, when a person, without qualifying, says, I want to become a Nazir, it usually means a 30-day period. So, right. Now, there were examples of Nazirim who were Nazirim forever, but those were the exception rather than the rule. The average person, you know, became a Nazir for a short period of time, for a 30-day period. Right. So, in other words, from the Sfarno's perspective, the Sfarno might say as follows. We don't expect a person to maintain this kind of intensity his entire life. But, you know, he decided that for 30 days, he's going to give Torah learning and mitzvah performance his all. And for better or for worse, that means that even if something as terrible as losing a parent during that period of time takes place, that short-term commitment that the person made, that I need to involve myself in this kind of way, in Torah learning and mitzvah performance, is so important that it even overrides that from the Torah's perspective. Again, it's hard for us to relate to that, but, you know, perhaps that's how we can understand, you know, the insistence that al nefesh meis lo yavo, that he can't come into contact with any kind of dead body, even if the person is extremely close to him. Wish everybody a good Shabbos. Rabbi Chananel ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKodesh.